Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the first Monday and Tuesday from 2 to 3, it is Mike Hoffman breaking Murphy's Law. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. How about yourself, Dave?
Great. We had such a great time yesterday, didn't we, with Cindy Gordon?
Yeah, it was so much fun. We decided to come back for more.
For more.
But with a different guest.
Yeah, more or less.
Remember I am not Cindy Gordon.
No, you are not Cindy Gordon, but this is like, what's my line? And we're going to find out who our mystery guest is today.
Yeah, we will.
Maybe not.
We will.
Only if he spills the beans.
Okay. I will choose not to spill the beans.
We have ways of finding out.
Okay. So Mike,
Breaking Murphy's Law, always a great show. A great show in that there is our friend Steve Sanchez, a syndicated radio guy, by the way. Very nice guy.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah.
How come you didn't invite him into the booth?
Oh, yeah. Should we have him say hi if he's still there?
Well, I don't know.
I think he just left.
He thought we were going to invite him, so he ran away, huh?
Yeah, except I'm going to have lunch with him Thursday.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If he's syndicated, then you need to get to know him, because bring him in here, you bring in his syndication.
Now we're talking. See, this guy's a marketing guy.
Hey.
Should we introduce him now or right after your monologue?
I don't think we can hold this guy back.
No, we can't. He's chomping at the bit. Other than Dave Hepburn. I've known you like 12, 15 years.
It's been a lifetime, Dave.
Yes, two lifetimes in some countries.
Absolutely.
A lifetime full of what?
Oh, of fun and discussion. And he runs a mastermind group.
Deep conversations.
Yeah.
Dave is always good for deep conversations.
Yes, people say that. I won't say what that means. However, it's so nice to have you in studio. We've talked about it for a long time. Here you are.
Hey, I am thrilled to be here today. This is fun.
It is fun. It'll only get better. You know, they say you're not getting older, you're getting better. I saw that on a commercial.
Really?
I didn't know what it meant.
Oh, boy, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I must have been older.
That was
in the 60s, wasn't that? Oh, it was in the
60s?
That really shows.
I kind of think so.
Now I'm dating myself.
Yeah, boy.
So, Breaking Murphy's Law, what does it mean for our new listeners?
Okay, so what is Murphy's Law? What can go wrong will go wrong. So the point of our show, Breaking Murphy's Law, is to help you to minimize the impact of Murphy's Law in your lives and businesses. We want to defeat Murphy's Law. We want to overcome Murphy's Law. We want to give people advice, inspiration, and tools that will help them in life and business. Really, we want to help you and give you ideas that will help you to achieve your own potential, your own personal potential, in order to help you break Murphy's Law before Murphy's Law breaks you. So today, I am very happy, I'm very excited to have as our guest David Hepburn with Mentoring Your Success. Of course, we've already briefly introduced you.
Thank you very much. And you know, I'm all of a sudden feeling like I don't belong here.
Oh, really?
Why is that?
Well, here's my view on Murphy's Law. I expect things to go wrong. Therefore, when they go wrong, I'm not worried about it.
Oh, well, very good. Well, you know, there's an interesting perspective on that you know, we can talk about, you know, as we get into it.
Yeah, we should discuss that.
I mean, because there's something, a concept called return on luck, and everyone has good luck and bad luck, and you cannot deny either one. And if you don't recognize good luck when you see it or bad luck when you see it and deal with them either way, you're going to set yourself up for failure, or you could set yourself up for success.
Absolutely. And as a business coach, I see business owners who a lot of times get really upset when they have Murphy's Law come in. And I just say to them, let's from now on plan on certain things to go wrong.
Right.
Why would you think that things won't go wrong? This is life.
Right, right.
Everything goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you plan for it, then you know how to deal with it.
Right.
Now, that makes sense. I'm glad you clarified that, because it's almost like the great CEOs and COOs, expect the best but plan for the worst. And I think that's what you're sort of saying.
Very much so. But in working with small business owners, they really get upset when they have mistakes or when Murphy's Law takes effect.
Right.
And that throws them off for a day, a week, maybe even a whole month.
Right.
So the key really is to help them understand that things are going to go wrong, and that's part of the business.
Right.
You know, I don't work with business owners. I don't create a business plan for them. I create a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that that works is think of a football coach on NFL. Sunday, they've got that big laminated thing with all the plays on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's all the plays to go against all the defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, business owners should have all their plays to go against everything that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it does go wrong, all of a sudden they have a play for that. So see, it creates a game plan rather than a business plan. Really works a lot better and helps people deal with Murphy's Law.
And that's what Tylenol did when there was tainted Tylenol. They said, what if this thing happened, what's our first move rather than trying to figure it out?
Absolutely. And see, a lot of times business owners stay too much in the problem rather than looking for the solution. Well, if you lined up all the things that could go wrong when you're running your business and plan for those,
right,
then it's just a matter of switching the plan.
Right, right. Well, I like a saying in the book, Good to Great, if you're in the business of turning over rocks, don't get scared when you see a bunch of scary squiggly things crawling around underneath
those
rocks.
I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just be ready for them.
Right.
I like that. That's a nice approach.
Hmm. Thank you.
Your clients are blessed to have you.
I think they are. And I'm blessed to have them, too.
So tell us a little bit more about your background. Of course, I remember first meeting you. It might have been at a networking group so long ago, but it might have been at the mastermind group that you put on. And you still do that, right?
Yeah, I still do that.
Tell us a little bit about that and also other things that you do.
Okay, the mastermind I've been running since 1999. And currently I have one group. We meet in North Scottsdale now. The group has been as large as 55 and as small as 4, but we've been meeting every week since 1999. It's a business discussion group. We come together as business owners and we talk about ways that we can improve our business. But the way that I use it is a format of a mastermind group, so everybody participates, and then I use quotes to get the conversation going.
Yeah.
Today's topic was about planning.
You had one today.
Yeah, wow. I had one this morning.
Did you talk about game plans?
Well, we talked about game plans, but we also talked about planning. You know, people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan.
Right.
And so, you know, that was one of the quotes that we talked about. And just it stimulates conversation and helps get people realize, oh, yeah, I could have done that. Okay, I need to plan this better. And so that's what the Mastermind Roundtable is all about.
Nice. And wow, 99, that's a long time, Mike.
Yeah. Boy, I'm trying to figure that out in my head. That's like more than 10 years.
So. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, actually, this is the 14th year.
Wow.
And that actually coincided with my change from being a marketing consultant to being a business coach.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew you did a lot of marketing. So now you're a business coach. What's the difference?
The difference is that I help business owners really get their head trash removed and help them think better. Once they're able to think better, then I can help them grow their business. What I found out when I was a marketing consultant is that I could go into a company and grow their business, but if the owner or the person I was working with didn't buy into what I was doing, when I left, they sabotaged it, so they made less money. And about that time, I got introduced to T. Harv Eker.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he talked about the financial thermostat that we all have. And what I realized was these business owners had a financial thermostat of only making a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
I came in, made more money, and it made them uncomfortable.
Oh,
they
really?
They couldn't grasp or they couldn't get around the fact of making more money.
So is that like someone who does some kind of personal transformation on their body, or what? Maybe they have plastic surgery, or they lose a bunch of weight. They look in the mirror, they don't recognize that person in the mirror.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly it. And your financial thermostat regulates how much money you can make.
Uh-huh.
And what I found is that 93% of the companies that I worked with went back to what they were making before they hired me, because the owner wasn't ready to make that extra money.
Wow. Yeah. So the people going in their head, like in that one movie, boy, what is it, Wayne's World, I'm not worthy. Is that what's going on?
You know, there are programs in your head, you know, that you learned when you were
little,
six and younger.
Right.
You know, money doesn't grow on trees. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
money is the root of all evil.
Money is the root of all evil.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, rich people steal from the poor, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Right, yeah.
But
Robin Hood was Russell Crowe in the movie.
Yeah, okay.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he was.
Okay. He was somebody.
Well, what depends which version of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a 2.0.
Yeah. I mean.
So it's just a matter of helping people realize that they do have a limiting belief as to how much money they can make.
Mm-hmm.
Once you can reprogram that belief, then they're ready for having the marketing come in so that they can grow their business.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow. Wow.
So did you take courses from...
I actually did.
Yeah.
And actually, I met you about the same time, and I got real involved in NLP.
Yeah.
Went through the whole certification, but didn't get certified.
Oh, you did with NLP?
Yeah.
Oh, where'd you go? Do you know?
Can't remember the guy's name now, up in North Scottsdale.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and so doing that and doing research on my own about how the brain works.
Mm-hmm.
Now what I try to do is go in and work with a business client and help them get their brain straight.
Uh-huh.
They're
very
thinking
good.
Right. Once we do that, then we can grow the business.
Well, and I'm sure that's a challenge, because it's hard for people to change even when they want to change. You know?
Absolutely.
So, wow.
And it's a long process. It can happen overnight. You know what I mean? With NLP, you know, you can change references, you know, almost instantaneously.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult with the subconscious programming to get down to the bottom and then reframe that so that they can make more money.
Yeah, I like what you're saying. I mean, that's so true, you know, and of course, I've studied NLP, and I've heard, of course,
T. Harv Eker.
Yeah, very good. I read the book, Millionaire Mind.
Millionaire Mind, yep.
Very, very good book.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably natural at NLP, maybe never took it, but he's just one of these guys NLP would study and say, how does he do that?
Absolutely.
You know? And I've had some friends take his courses. They sound very, very good, by the way. And but I like what you're saying, because that's how I thought too. You know, when I'm a CPA, of course, you remember, Dave, and going through the 80s, when I started my firm in 85, I said, you know, I think there's a piece of consulting most CPAs don't do, and that's the mindset.
Right.
And I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
You're right on the money with this, because you can give all the great business consulting. You can give great information. Look at the internet. Anyone could get anything, anytime, anywhere, but they're still not succeeding. It's because they haven't changed how they think about certain things and their limiting beliefs, their identity issues, and it's very hard to see a limiting belief. But I always said, you know, the world is like a big TV screen. It reflects back to you what your innermost thoughts are, because if success is not showing up or money's not showing up, you'll see it out there or in your checkbook, but it really starts inside, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And there isn't really a better way to say it, except what you focus on expands.
Absolutely. Mm.
Totally. And if you're focusing on lack, guess what? You're getting more lack.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, our brains are wired such that we focus on the negative.
Mm.
You have to train your brain to focus on the positive.
Yeah.
Because our brain is not our friend.
Right.
It was designed to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's new or different says danger, danger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know that, remember Lost in Space?
Yep.
The robot?
Danger, Will Robinson.
I love that show. The voice of that robot passed away in 2012.
Really?
Yeah. We did a special Academy Award, Who Passed Away.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of people, sadly. Whitney Houston.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sad.
Well, anyway. You know, it happens every day.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's an everyday occurrence. Okay, how do you plan for that?
Well, just don't focus on it, please.
So Mike knows some NLP, and you seem to enjoy it, too.
Well, I do very much,
yeah.
Yes.
And you read a lot of all the great leaders, and that's so important.
Well, you know, something that David was just, not you, Dave, but David was just saying just now kind of struck a chord with me about, you know, we had the author of The Willpower Instinct, Kelly McGonigal, on our show a couple months ago. And, you know, and she talks about that, you know. Well, and you see this in a lot of places where a lot of authors, you know, whatever you put in your mind, it tends to have a life of its own.
Yes.
And so we got to be very careful. And you can trick your mind. And you have to believe, everyone needs to believe, you can trick your mind to believe things that are not real. Just think about the last time you went to a movie, whether it was a movie, a horror movie, or a movie set in outer space, or whatever. If for a while, you suspended belief, or you had an alternate belief. And your mind will do that with everything, and that's why we survived through the, you know, through evolution. Our mind played scenarios that teach us how to run away from saber-toothed tigers or whatever else was going to eat us.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up belief, because we talked about this briefly this morning, in that your belief zone is outside of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about that. Your belief zone is outside of your comfort zone. So you have to stretch to believe some things.
Mm-hmm.
But our subconscious doesn't know right or wrong.
Right.
And it believes anything that we tell it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is to put it into the subconscious,
right,
because the subconscious believes it and then goes out and does it for us.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, how do you do that, Dave? I assume that you do that with, as a business coach, teach people to look into their subconscious, identify perhaps limiting beliefs. Do you have certain techniques you use, or?
Well, there's a word called metacognition. Do you know what that word is?
I've heard of it.
Okay, metacognition is thinking about what you think about.
Yeah.
And basically, there are some exercises where you write down everything you're thinking about over a 15-minute period, and as you look at all the thoughts that have come through your head, you realize, wow, I'm giving time to this, as opposed to being able just to scratch it out. But it really involves thinking about what you think about, because we have 60,000 or so thoughts a day. The ones that you focus on are the ones that grow. So
there's no doubt. And no, I like that. So you got some exercises to start paying attention to your thoughts. You know, it is interesting, and I like that technique as well, because a lot of people, they don't realize the thoughts they have. They don't even have the realize a little self-talk that's going on, like, mm-hmm. Oh, I can't do that. They automatically say it. And when you say, I can't, I won't, or I don't have time, I don't have money, what happens? It cuts off possibility.
Yep.
You won't even try.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's out of your awareness, right?
And see, that's why I say your brain isn't your friend.
I got you.
See, because your brain is constantly telling you, no, you mm-hmm. can't. You know, that part of it.
Right.
And it's just because of fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with David Hepburn, a great business coach. I'm excited for you. I knew you were from a marketing standpoint. I like what you're saying as a business coach. Of course, this is Breaking Murphy's Law, starring Mike Hoffman. Sponsored by Service Masters by Disaster Professionals. And, hey, it looks like there's a little birdie out there that's injured. See that? And that guy is looking at the birdie.
And trying to kill it with nicotine.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe himself. Let's get him.
This is live radio.
This is live. Maybe some smoking business coaching is appropriate. We'll be right back.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Breaking Murphy's Law, starring Mike Kaufman, sponsored by Service Masters by Disaster Professionals. You know, we should say, and then, of course, we have Dave Hepburn. I wasn't remiss in saying that. I got so excited about talking about your company. Of course, mentoring your success, Dave Hepburn Jr., I'm going to call him. And, of course, I've known Dave for lifetimes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes, I don't know what it means, but yes.
It means we're both old.
Yes, that's what it means. But we've had some fun at some of these networking events.
Well, and that sounds like a different radio show, Dave.
Oh, yeah. That would be a different radio show. Okay. But Service Master by Disaster Professionals.
Yes.
It's a few words about it, because you are the great owner of that franchise.
Yes, we are. I are.
Yes, you are.
Actually, my wife and I are. Yeah. So anyway, but no, Service Master by Disaster Professionals, we are in the business of helping people when they have an unplanned emergency in their life. We handle water damage and fire damage restoration. And you'd be surprised how often here in Arizona people have floods in their own home.
Yeah.
You know, we have just left the lady's house, 96-year-old lady.
Oh.
Nice lady, and her 80-something-year-old caretaker living in the house. And they had a water heater fail, and it flooded most of their house. So fortunately for them, we're able to go in there. And fortunately for them, they have good insurance.
Oh, good.
Property insurance, and we'll be able to take care of them and get them back to get their house back to the way it was before this horrible disaster happened to them.
I actually flooded my house twice.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
How'd you do it?
The washing machine stuck on filling up, and it was one part of the house, and my office is the other part of the house, and flooded the whole thing twice.
Really? Wow, so who are you going to call?
Service master.
I always said people should take this number down. Let's give your number out because you just never know when something like that will happen, and you're the best guy to call.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
602-431-2222.
I love it when you say 2222.
Okay, 602-431-2222.
It was good. That's a very good number.
You know, that's radio talent, if I've ever seen it right there.
Well, yeah, we used to do this in harmony. I play the part of the choo-choo train. Ready? Let's do it again.
I'm going to take a diversion here. You know, I went to see a concert at United Methodist Church in Apache Junction this last Sunday by the two Rice brothers, and they are both virtuoso pianists and cellists.
The two Rice brothers?
Yes.
There's three of them.
There is. Well,
Snap, crackle, and pop.
Okay. All right. Okay.
You should have figured that was coming, Mike.
So anyway, I should have known that. So anyway, they were talking about, and they played, they were playing mainly Chopin, but they played a boogie woogie song.
Oh, I love that. Boogie Woogie Boys from Bugle Company 4 or something.
Bette Midler.
On cello? Cello and piano or just on the piano?
Just on the piano.
Okay.
This one was just on the piano. And it was kind of interesting. And it says Chris Rice gave the story that, we all think of this as music from the 1930s. But actually, it came during the times of slavery when they're first laying the railroad tracks down by the plantations.
Really?
The slaves would hear the noise of the trains, and they started trying to duplicate that with their drums and different other instruments.
I had no idea.
Neither did I. But a lot of the music comes from the old slaves and the slaves' songs that they sang.
Right.
And
I love that song, Bette Midler.
So listen for the train. Next time you hear the boogie woogie. Okay.
So what's your name? What's your
number?
And then call
602-431-2222.
Okay, that was the choo-choo train.
Right.
People will remember that.
Yeah.
All right, so Mike, you definitely want to understand, how do you find the right marketing person? And as Dave and I were explaining on the break, I haven't found a whole lot of marketing people, strategic in nature. I like the strategic marketing people, people that don't confuse sales and marketing. They know that sales is different than marketing. They have that marketing mindset, strategic planning mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It's been tough for me to find people. Dave, how about you? Have you found anyone strategic in nature?
I've worked with a few legends in marketing. The challenge is that most of the kids coming out of school nowadays, especially in marketing, they're taught theory.
Theory
doesn't work in the real world anymore. Mm-hmm. I have an example. I used to work with an electrician I worked for him for 6 months, and he had said, okay, in summer, my daughter, who's graduating with a marketing degree, she's going to come and take over. I said, okay, but, you know, kind of said, well, you do realize that all she's learned is theory. Oh, no, she's going to be able to do it. So summer came, she came in, moved in, and I moved out. And about a month later, he called me up and he said, well, you know, you were right about the theory part. And, I mean, he was trying to keep it in the family. But unfortunately, they were just taught theory. And marketing is learned by getting out there, making mistakes, and finding out what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what you need to find, is somebody who's found what works or what doesn't work. And every industry is a little bit different, but good marketers can cross over, you know, from industry to industry. Some of the people that I've worked with are Dan Kennedy, who's great at writing copy and creating marketing that gets a return on investment, as well as Jay Abraham. Jay Abraham is a guru in marketing. I mean, he's made $8 billion for companies that he's worked for.
Oh. Hmm.
And he's got some really interesting ways to do marketing, how to talk to the people you need to talk to. You know, and there's some really deep ways to do that. The challenge is that it's not inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And most small business owners really can't afford to pay what they need to pay to do the right marketing. So they just kind of do what they do.
Wow, so is that the end of the show and we move on, or is there something we can
it's
do?
All done.
It's all done. I was going to ask you, Mike. I mean, it's a good question, and it goes back to the same question. How do you find a good marketing person that I guess we could add the word reasonable from a cost-benefit standpoint? And maybe...
I'm wondering, and where do you find them?
And maybe... Where and how do you know what the difference is between a great sales and a great marketing person? Should we ask Dave that?
Yeah.
Well, Dave, what is the difference between sales and marketing?
The difference between sales and marketing is that marketing interests the customer in your product. Sales completes the sales is the last step. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's the next last step of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing drives people to the door, sales closes, and then marketing has a job to follow up after the sale to ensure repeat sales.
Mm-hmm.
So sales is the next to last point in the whole thing of marketing. Now, marketing can be salesy and can actually do a lot for you that salespeople used to do. However, it doesn't say sign here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does not have that interaction face-to-face.
Right.
But it can do a lot to educate and really show that your company is the premier company in the industry.
Right.
And because that's where people gravitate to.
Now, okay, advertising is in here somewhere, right?
Advertising is another form of marketing.
And advertising has been evolving over the years, correct?
It's always evolving. It used to be in the newspaper and on radio.
Uh-huh.
And now you're kind of not seeing newspaper so much, but you're seeing a lot of stuff on the internet.
Right.
Uh-huh. So advertising tends to go to where the people are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether the people see it or not, that's another story.
Uh-huh. Right.
In fact, that'd be another show about, you know, return on investment and impressions per advertisement and that type of thing.
Well, the other thing is advertising used to be more one way. You know, a commercial going directly to the consumer, the yellow page speaking to the consumer. But now with all the reviews and all that kind of stuff, it kind of goes more
ways. And that's really not advertising so much anymore. That really is marketing.
Okay. Wow.
And so marketing has taken over for some of the advertising, but that two-way conversation, you know, really gets into the new level of marketing.
Uh-huh.
Marketing used to be about the four P's, which were product, price, place, and promotion. And now they've added like four more P's, but the only one I can remember is permission. See, because now on the internet, you need permission to be able to market to somebody, you know, and so you have to develop a way to get that permission and then use it judiciously so they don't unsubscribe after the first time they get something.
So let me ask you both this. How important is it for the owner, let's say of a small business, to develop or cultivate their own mindset to be able to work alongside someone they hire from a as a marketing person? Would that be important?
It's huge. And what needs to happen is there needs to be a relationship of both trust and learning between the marketer and the business owner. Because the marketer is going to suggest things that are way out of the business owner's comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, and he needs to realize that if they're going to succeed, they need to do things like that.
Well, but it has to be something. If the marketer suggests it, the marketer needs to go outside that comfort zone along with the owner, correct?
Oh, absolutely. No? But it may not be outside the comfort zone for the marketer to do that type of marketing.
Uh-huh.
That's
what ideal.
I was saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
See,
right. See,
but it's new to the business owner.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've
all
never
right.
done that, and nobody in the industry has done that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why?
Yeah.
See, there's two reasons why the industry hasn't done it. Either it's been tried and it didn't work, or nobody thought of it.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, I'm always looking to try to find things that nobody's thought of.
Right.
And if you work in a lot of different industries, what you can find is something that works in one industry, if you tweak it a little, it can work in a different industry and be just as powerful.
Right.
How about if it was, you said if it tried and maybe it didn't work. How about it was tried, it didn't work, but maybe if you break it down, it was tried with poor skill sets.
I deal with that all the time.
Yeah.
For instance, when it comes to maybe using postcards as mailers, mm-hmm. I talk to business owners and they say, well, I tried that once. Well, okay, once?
Yeah.
See,
the general rule is
once? Yeah, I mean, really?
You got to have a plan to do repetition.
You got to do 3 or 6 times, you know, before your prospect is even thinking about what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It used to be it only took 3 to 4 times for the prospect to know or at least have a good idea of what you do. Now, it's about 12. You need 12 contacts with a prospect before they're going to be ready to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a lot, Mr. Mike.
Yeah, it is.
12 contacts. I was going to say let's take a break, but I just saw our producer walk out of the producing room or production room.
So we're not breaking.
No, we're not breaking, but we might be break dancing or we'll be breaking someone's contract. Okay.
Well, he's
just
taking
kidding.
A break.
And there he comes back. So let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Very interesting discussion.
Yeah.
How to find a marketing person. And to be able to find one, you have to understand what is a marketing person? What is a one that would fit your type of business? What's their mindset? Maybe their beliefs, their skill set, the qualities? We'll go through all that. Everyone, stay tuned for more information.
My name is Shirley Harshberger-Pridgett. I own Harshberger Assisted Living at 7202 West Libby Street in Glendale, Arizona. I'm inviting you to come over and visit my care home for the elderly. I have a 24-hour awake staff, and I care for all phases of illness, including hospice, Alzheimer's, and dementia. You don't need an appointment. Just drop by. My phone number is 623-842-1408. Again, it's 623-842-1408. Mention David Isaac's name, and your loved one's deposit will be free. Thank you, and God bless.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac alongside Mr. Mike Hoffman, Breaking Murphy's Law every Monday and, I should say, every Monday and Tuesday of each month. Each month.
That every first Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, what am I talking about?
Of each month or?
Yeah, now I don't even know where I'm at.
Folks, if you had been here during the break, you would have seen why we have so much challenge getting back into it.
Yeah, we were having a variety show here. Yeah, you're right. Every first Monday and Tuesday of each month from 2 to 3, Breaking Murphy's Law. Great, great subject. No question about it.
Right.
When I think of it, Breaking Murphy's Law, it's about whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Mm-hmm. That's what Dave Hepburn, our in-studio guest, said today. Plan for those type of things. Don't worry about them.
Right.
And with great coaching from David here, you can overcome any obstacle. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unless you want to play basketball and you're only 5 foot tall.
Yes, and that can be a problem.
There are some obstacles that are not overcomable.
Unless the league is 5 foot and under.
Well, yeah. And
all right,
yeah,
there we go. Okay. Now, we've been talking about marketing, how to find a good marketing person, but we want to look into what makes a great marketing person. Who wants to take a stab at that? David, what makes a great – I mean, and from a – let's break it down this way, from skill sets to beliefs to maybe experience matters to innovative and creativity, perhaps. What would you say makes a great marketing person?
Wow.
Hey, that was good, Michael.
You like that?
I wowed him.
Okay.
After all these years, I wowed the guy.
What makes a great marketing person is somebody who puts something together that works.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that.
All right.
Actually, I do like that.
See, the challenge is, especially with a lot of marketers, they want to make their marketing pretty.
Yeah.
You know, and they want make it look cute. That doesn't sell. Really, the only type of marketing sells is direct response marketing, which means you need to write your copy so that it drives response.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually 4 steps that every good piece of advertising needs to have. The first thing is an interrupt. We are so busy that most advertising doesn't interrupt us, so we look at it and turn the page.
Yeah,
or
so you
we're
need
listening
to interrupt
to
people.
It, so mm-hmm. you need to interrupt people. Mm-hmm. Now, there are lots of ways to do that. A pretty woman scantily dressed would be an interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Or asking a question like, did you lose all your money in the crash of 2008?
Interrupt.
That gets people out of their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them look down to the second part, which is the engagement. The engagement is the subtitle that engages you to read more or hear more about the product if it's on radio or TV. The third thing is education. Every good piece of marketing and advertising needs to educate the reader on some level about your product or service. And then the fourth component, which most people miss, is an offer. If you don't have a call to action, your marketing is wasted.
I've heard that, and I like that, a call to action. And what you're talking about, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, creating sort of a sense of urgency now.
Yes, but you also have to go a step further and offer something at low cost or free.
I see. I got you. Mm-hmm.
For, you know, whether it's an ebook or whether it's something that you can
call
send
me now
them.
For a free consultation, whatever, something
exactly.
like that.
See,
that's
so
a
you
good
offer
point.
Something that's low cost or free,
yeah.
and people say, wow, you know, that education, this guy must be really smart. Let's go to the next step. The next step might be an ebook or something that they could read online. And then, same thing, have all the 4 steps again with another offer.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that. So what you're saying is a great marketing person will know some of these things.
Well, hopefully you'll know all of them.
Otherwise,
all of
you get
halfway
through
the steps.
What about intuition? How important is intuition when it comes to marketing and or business? So you meet people that just have this knowing. They just seem to, everything they touch turns to gold.
You know, it's interesting because at today's Mastermind, we had a visitor, and her business is called Divine Consulting. And she's an intuitive consultant.
Really? That's so cool. What? Tell us a little bit about that.
And what she does is she sits, her belief is that every block that you have in your business is actually something at a deeper level than just the business block. And so she intuits what those things are and works with business owners to help them get rid of that. And what she's found is that that also then gets rid of the block in the business.
Wow. So
yeah, it was real interesting.
So, yeah, I haven't met someone like that, but do you think, what was your impression of her? I mean, do you think she had that?
Yeah,
that amazing
I was impressed with her, the way she talked and the way she laid things out. A real smart gal, done a lot of stuff, and really has a good handle on things. So yeah,
so,
I was interested because a lot of the coaching that I do is also intuitive because I'm empathic. So I have a better understanding of the people that I work with than they really understand, and knowing where some of their hang-ups are and some of the things that they may not say, but I can read. So, you know, I definitely believe that there's something there. I've just never taken it to the level that she has.
So when did the first time you notice you were empathic?
I was in college.
Really? And what was that experience like?
Actually, I read it wrong.
Okay.
I read it wrong.
And, oh, a dating situation.
And it cost me the love of my life, actually.
Oh, no, really?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh. Well, that's a different show, too. Okay. But you did have a college.
I'm back in the next one.
That's called engagement. You really got me curious now. You're using marketing on myself and Mike, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Inquiring minds want a war?
Well,
no?
I mean, you know, and actually, this past Friday, I did a workshop on facts tell and stories sell. And good marketing always tells a good story.
Yeah.
See, and as I'm telling stories here, getting you involved in those types of things,
right.
That's what you need to do with your marketing to get your clients and prospects involved in what you're doing.
So Mike wants to know this because I'm intuitive. I'm reading his mind. Oh, thank you, Mike. Okay. So
he meant me. Not
oh,
me,
yeah, yeah. There was one of the Daves you were referring to. It would be like Craigslist. Is that a good source for finding marketing people or other referral sources, you know, headhunters, colleges, whatever. Right? Is that something you want to know?
Well, I'd like to know because, you know, I think different industries are different. Different products are different. There are consumer products. There's, you know, specialty products. There are services. There's just all kinds of different things. There's things people need every day. There's things that, you know, people need, you know, once every few years, like a car, and some things that people never want to need.
Craigslist used to be good for that. It's just overrun with spam and people who don't have a clue.
Really?
Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily go there. In the previous segment, we were talking about the relationship between the business owner and the marketing person. That's what's most important. So where you find people would be at your chamber of commerce, your networking events.
Through
that
you
type
or
of thing.
Jason Bressler.
Oh, absolutely.
Jason Bressler knows everyone.
Oh, yes, he does.
How does he do that?
Well, you know, he carries around this 8-pound notebook with everybody's he's ever met business card.
It's amazing, so, isn't it?
Yeah. But I would say from that standpoint, for business owners looking for marketing help, you know, find a chamber of commerce or talk to Jason or and just get some ideas of and sit down and interview these people. Get to know them. You'll find that you can relate with one more so than any of the other ones. And that's the one that you really need to sit down and make sure that they know where you want to go and that they can take you there.
So does a good marketer need a lot of management and direction, do you think? Or should they be independent?
If the business owner understands marketing, he can help. But for the most part, the business owner does his business and he knows that really well. He doesn't understand marketing. So from that standpoint, before I do any marketing with a client, I definitely discuss it with them. And you know, they have to sign off on it. So they understand what's going to be happening. However, you can't just, you know, work, you know, on yourself and put it out there. as a marketing person. So you need the congruence of both the marketing person and the business owner.
And how do you measure a marketer's performance? I think that might be tricky, perhaps.
No, it's really easy.
Is that, how do you do that?
Results.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying a marketing person would have similar results to a salesperson?
No.
So what would the results be?
The results would be that the marketing person would get more opportunities for the salespeople to close.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it would bring in more pipeline, contacts.
Contacts, leads. Pipeline,
leads. Okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
It brings that in. Hmm. And if he's bringing more in and then you're not making more money, then you see that the issue is with sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to work on the sales side mm-hmm. of it.
So,
Do you measure like the number of prospects that they're going out to look at, or you know?
I don't measure that as much as I measure the number of prospects that actually respond.
Okay, all right. Hmm.
See, and marketing budgets, you have to understand there's a formula for creating your marketing budget.
Right.
And that's based on what it costs you or what your profit is on one job.
Mm-hmm.
So you can spend as much money as it costs you for one job
mm-hmm.
on marketing. And then anything you get above that one job is gravy.
Right. Uh-huh.
So you know, if you're marketing, if you need to, you know, get 10 jobs out of the marketing, then mm-hmm. you need to use different strategies. But then the goal is to get 11
mm-hmm.
to pay for itself.
So, okay. So then, now would that apply to every type industry? Or it would.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the marketing budget, you're saying, is to at least equals the profit. The profit, right?
Actually, the
gross?
It's the gross.
The gross of one job.
Yeah.
So
if it costs $1,000 for Service Master to come out and unflood my house,
right.
mm-hmm.
then you can spend up to $999 to get one person.
Mm-hmm.
One new customer. Okay.
Okay.
And
So you're saying if the gross profit on that job is $1,000.
Is $1,000, right.
Then you can spend
up to not the gross sales, but the gross profit.
No, not gross sales, but gross profit.
So you can use all of the, incremental or what the overhead. You can just use all the overhead to pay for that job.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and mm-hmm. as long as that job pays a little tiny bit of the overhead, it's worth it.
Yeah, and you only have to get one out of the marketing.
So ideally, today's job gets us another job later.
Exactly.
In my mind, you want everyone in your company to be a sales and marketer too at some level.
Well, they need to be, because uh-huh. if they're not, then they're going to turn people off.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so they at least need to have customer service savvy.
Right. Right. Okay.
They don't necessarily have to sell, but they have to know how to do customer service well.
Uh-huh. Well, the big strategic initiatives, and I hate to use the word initiative, but the big strategies for Service Master overall are sales, marketing, operational excellence, customer service, and innovation. So those four things, and it's kind of, I don't like lumping sales and marketing together, but mm-hmm. that's what they did. So anyway, you got those four things. So to me, every person in the company needs to embrace all four of those things, though you do need to have someone that's a champion for each of those things within the company.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you do need to have one person that concentrates on sales.
Right.
And then you do need to have one person who goes out and sucks up all the water or does whatever.
You know what we do. Wow, you've had it.
I've seen it done twice now in my house.
Wow. You want me to look at your washing
and
machine?
Carry the big fans. I've gotten a new one since then. So.
Well, I'll look at your water heater or your ice maker lane or something.
So a lot of listeners right now, probably small business, are saying, wait a minute. Is it better to hire someone internally or go for a consultant in marketing?
My experience
consultant.
Has been that internally, people who are internal don't have the marketing know-how mm-hmm. that they're going to need to create the marketing to make it successful. Because basically internal people know what they've always done.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying an outside consultant may be better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then hopefully, and there's probably, well, I don't know. There are marketing firms out there for the small business, and but again, I've had tough experience. It seems like they're more sales oriented. It just seems
well, it depends on the need. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most business owners want sales.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm.
so
true.
That right. you know when you go to a consultant, okay, give me sales. Okay, how are we going to do that? You know, and they kind of go that way. That's why I really try to deal with the thought process first.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes sense.
And once we've cleaned out all the head trash, then we can, then we can grow the business.
Mm-hmm. Head okay. trash. Wow. Have you ever heard of that?
I just have all kinds of visualizations going up in my head.
We all got it. You know,
I need that waste management truck going through my head, I guess.
Well, I can back it up, and we can dump your head out, you know, and that's really what I do as a business coach first.
Mm-hmm. So we only have, what, Tommy, about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. As a business coach, then, David, do you consider yourself like the orchestra leader where you'll say, hey, yeah, you need this type of specialty, this type of specialty, this type of specialist or whatever? Or do you really take care of the whole gambit from business coaching to marketing to sales training? I mean, do you do that?
It really depends on the client and whether I feel confident enough that the skills that I have in marketing mm-hmm. or sales training or whatever – will work with that client. And if they don't, then I'll say, well, here's somebody that you can benefit from by using.
I got you.
But, you know, and so every client is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but Mike, as a business owner, it's tough to, I mean, we sort of was our topic a little bit yesterday.
Right.
But you know, it's tough to find good people, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. Yeah.
I think that as a CPA, that's been the common complaint, you know, mm-hmm. over 30 years now as a CPA. I know I look much younger. Well, but the whole point is it is hard to find good people, don't you think?
It is. But that's where the personal interaction mm-hmm. comes in. Mm. And unfortunately, the way we hire people now mm-hmm. is an online resume, a telephone interview before you even sit down with somebody.
Right.
And experience on Craigslist.
Yeah. And so see, you know, what does that really get you? Hmm. As opposed to when it used to be when you went for a job, you went to the place, you sat on their doorstep until they brought you in mm-hmm. and you had an opportunity to develop rapport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you're just sifting through the thousands of people looking for a job, especially in marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think about the great companies often take years, 2 years, 5 years or whatever, just working on getting the right people. Mm-hmm. And then they can decide what they're going to really do. And then that's when they start getting their breakthrough results.
Yeah.
So it just seems like it's not easy, and it's
no, it's not easy. In fact,
and I'm sorry if that's my mindset that it's not easy.
Well,
but I don't think it is.
It's not just you. In fact, a client that I worked with that I'm no longer working with had posted on Facebook, "Why does business have to be so hard?" Mm-hmm. And I just laughed, you know, because that's life,
right?
You know, and we're going to have challenges.
Right. Well, I think there's a simple answer out there. It's not so simple finding that simple answer, though. It takes some work. But that's been my experience with other things that I've found in life.
There may be a simple answer. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Okay. The simple answer is not easy to implement.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the challenge.
Hmm.
The simple answer is usually pretty difficult to
uh-huh.
implement, because had it been that simple, you would have done it sooner.
Yeah, so if we got a second, I mean, the great companies, they would spend a long time discussing and arguing over their hedgehog concept, that one simple thing that they were going to do to put their company forward.
And we're out of time. Can you believe it?
Oh,
Dave
no.
Hepburn, thank you so much. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can find me on Facebook, David Hepburn Jr., or they can find me on LinkedIn, or they can call me
at
602-577-2624.
Michael, how do they get in touch with you?
Think Boogie Woogie. 602-431-2222.
I like it. Just think okay. of that.
How can we get a hold of you, Dave?
602-625-3074. Dave Hepburn, thank you so much. Mike Hoffman, we'll see you next month. Okay. Everyone have a great night. We'll see everyone tomorrow. Breakthrough yeah. Sports.
Okay.
Welcome to the family.
This is Family Values Radio, 1010 AM, KXXT.
Towson, Phoenix.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client.